Once the winter's month begins after Yom Tov, I'm going to be starting every morning with, almost every morning up here with Mesilas Yesharim, briefly. Morning Machshava, morning Musar. Mesilas Yesharim is probably a rich blend of both. For the course of this brief Elul month, we're going to be starting the mornings, B'Sos Hashem, with the selections from Hilchos Tshuva. Rambam is there's a somewhat old Masorah in Litha. The Rambam has 10 Prakim in Hilchos Tshuva. That's not a Masorah in Litha. That's an open Rambam, see? There's an old Masorah in Litha. The Rambam has 10 Prakim in Hilchos Tshuva. That's supposed to indicate we should be learning one parak a day, each day of Aseres Mei Tshuva. That's definitely ambitious. At the very least, we'll get started in advance of Aseres Mei Tshuva. We'll have a chance to see, hopefully, selections from perhaps up to 5 different prakim between now and Yom Kippurim, and Yishma Chacham Yosef Lakach. There's more, the packet that you have is not the entire Hilchos Tshuva, but it's a good chunk of Hilchos Tshuva, more than we're going to see inside. Ritz Hashem, you'll make good use of it, even when we're not together. Hopefully this will whet your appetite. Before we open the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, something we'll be seeing mostly in Iyun over the course of the year, that's relevant now also, is that in order to one of the insights you need in order to learn a Rishon deeply is to appreciate what sort of sefer he was trying to write. If you don't know the genre of the sefer he was trying to write, but often there's a lot one's going to miss in terms of what could be sensitive to, what was said, what wasn't said, where things were said, how things were said. So the Rambam in particular wrote a very unique, in certain senses, unique type of sefer. I'm sure you've learned Mishnah Torah in the past, and I'm sure you know that there are a number of uniquenesses. Rambam was not writing Chidushim al Hashas. He was trying, his goal was to write a compendium, a digest, of the core ideas of the Torah Shebaal-Peh, the abridged Torah Shebaal-Peh, drawing from all the major works of the Tanan, and the Amoraim, Balbi, the Rishalmi, and the Midrashim, and the Tosefta, and so forth. And the Rambam, one of the unique things about Rambam's Mishnah Torah, he was incredibly dedicated to organization. And Talmud Bavli is a conversation. So in a conversation, a lot goes on, and some of the things can happen in different places. You can go from point to point to point. How you do it, they will live tomorrow. And the Rambam, part of the Rambam's goal was to put everything back into strict logical order. And he writes it in place. He wants to make sure, the way he puts it very humbly, he wants to make sure he wouldn't leave anything out over the course of writing Mishnah Torah. So he figured he better make sure first that he knows what the Tariag Mitzvahs are, and that way he'll be sure when he writes the Mishnah Torah that he'll speak about each of the Tariag Mitzvahs. So that way nothing will be left out. Which is why he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs before he wrote the Mishnah Torah. Sefer HaMitzvahs we'll probably talk at great length some other time about. The Rambam, in many ways, broke new ground in terms of thinking. Gemara and Demachus says the Tariag Mitzvah, but doesn't tell us what they are. So that gave rise to rich literature in the Gaonim and Rishonim. Let's figure out what are the Tariag Mitzvahs. Obviously, way more than 613 dinim in halacha, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe more. So obviously, not every din that's binding is a quote unquote mitzvah. So what is a mitzvah? So Gaonim and Rishonim, before and after Rambam worked on it, the Rambam was a particularly significant member of that conversation. And then, after Rambam worked out Sefer HaMitzvahs, what are the rules and what are the Tariag Mitzvahs, and then he builds the entire Mishnah Torah around the Mitzvahs. The Mishnah Torah, in many ways, really is construed as an elaboration on the Mitzvahs. The Tariag Mitzvahs, the whole Torah Shabbat, Rambam writes it explicitly in several places, sometimes subtly. The Torah Shebaal-Peh is an elaboration on the mitzvahs, and that's how he organized the Mishnah Torah. Specifically, as you see in the first page, every single, there are 14 svarim in the Mishnah Torah, and each one, Mada, Ava, Zmanim, and so forth. I'm sure you know that. I'm sure you know that each of those svarim is broken down into several different topics. So let's say Sefer Zmanim begins with Hilchos Shabbos, but later on you'll also find Hilchos Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav. You'll find Hilchos Megillah V'Chanukah. Different topics within the overall Sefer of Zman. So you have, and each time there are 80 some odd topics, Hilchos such and such, And just about every single one will begin with more or less what you see up top. Here, Hilchos Tshuva. Before he gets to the first parak, the second parak, the third parak, he'll begin by saying, Hilchos Tshuva comprise so many mitzvahs. Right? So he'll say, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, earlier in this volume, you don't have an actual Sefer Ma'ad in front of you, but the Hilchos Avodah Zarah comprises, I think, 50 some odd mitzvahs. Mitzvahs Aseh, mostly mitzvahs Los Aseh. Yeah, 51 mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs Aseh, 49 mitzvahs Los Aseh. Not surprising, we're talking Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And then he says, gives you a whole list, as you see here. Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Chukos Hagoyim. Here, the 51 other Tariag mitzvahs, almost 10% of them, have to do with Avodah Zarah. Here they are. Vezehu Pirtan. Here's the list. And then he always transitions with this line. Uveir kol mitzvahs ha'elu b'prakam elu. And the elaboration on these mitzvahs that I just listed will be in the coming prakim. That was a sort of thumbnail portraits. And now, let's start Perek Rishon, Perek Sheni, Perek Shlishi, which will elaborate on each of the mitzvahs. And that's how he arranges the text of Mishnah also. Often will begin a paragraph. There is a mitzvah said to do with this. And then he'll get into the roll up his sleeves and get into the details. You expect, therefore, that first line up top, which contemporary times is sometimes called the koteret, but probably the traditional term Rishon would have used would be the ramazim, the rimzei hamitzvahs, the merames to the mitzvahs. So you expect that to be very similar to the first line of Perek Rishon. Because the first line of Perek Rishon is going to begin by telling you, here's the first mitzvah we're going to discuss, define it, and then get into details. So let's, with that in mind, with that sensitivity in mind, let's spend a couple of minutes learning the first few lines of the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. From the top of the page. Hilchos Tshuva. Mitzvah Saseh Achatz. One mitzvah. This is not 51 mitzvahs. Here's just one. There are even some topics where there are no mitzvahs. You can think about what they might be. Plenty of halacha, but nothing that counts as one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Here, Hilchos Tshuva includes one of the 613 mitzvahs, which is it? Sheyashuv hachoteh mechet'o lefnei Hashem v'yisvadeh. That the achotes, one who has done an avera, that's all of us, should do tshuva from his chet, should return from his chet, lefnei Hashem, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Often in Chumash, lefnei Hashem is a technical term to mean in the Beis HaMikdash, some degree of Beis HaMikdash, Azara, Harabais, Mishalayim, but here we probably mean it more broadly in the tshuva sense, we'll talk about that more in a couple of minutes. V'yisvadeh. And you should do what? In addition to tshuva, Vidur, right? Verbally express your regret. Now it sounds like that there's a mitzvah with two parts. The mitzvah is to do tshuva and to do vidur. Okay. If we're looking carefully, we might begin to wonder, well, which one is it? I thought vidur was a detail of tshuva. So I learned maybe in the past, you know, one of the many steps of tshuva is going to be vidur. You wouldn't say there's one of the Hilchos Shabbos, there's a law not to do melacha and not to water your plants. No, not to water your plants is an example, as a part of not doing melacha. It's sort of curious. Rambam says to do tshuva and to do vidur. For vidur is a part of tshuva. Right away strikes you, if you're reading sensibly, you wonder. It's also interesting that lefnei Hashem is sort of hanging there. What exactly happened with lefnei Hashem? Everything I do in the world is lefnei Hashem. But like me, I did my chet lefnei Hashem. I did my chet in Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? Kruv said, Shiyashu v'achotei mechet al yisvada. Or Kruv said, Shiyashu v'achotei mechet al. So by the way, just reading there's nothing fancy. Just reading the Rambam sensitively, the mitzvah of tshuva, but something interesting on with lefnei Hashem, with the vidoy, got to figure it out. Okay. The next line, before we even get to Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Beir mitzvahs du v'ikarim hanigrarim ima biglala v'prakam elu. There's language that I think does not appear anywhere else in Mishnah Torah. Instead of just Beir mitzvahs du or Beir mitzvahs elu, it's the elaboration of this mitzvah and the ikarim, the yisoda, the ikari hamuna, hanigrarim ima biglala. Those ikari hamuna that will get dragged along, they brought in because of a discussion of Hilchos Tshuva, will be elaborated on in Hilchos Teshuvah. In other words, he's telling you, unlike most sections of Rambam, this is going to be about the mitzvah of Teshuvah. It's also going to be about other topics that aren't really Teshuvah, but are Ikari Amuna that relate to Teshuvah. Most Ikari Amuna the Rambam dealt with earlier. Hilchos Teshuvah is the last of the five sections of Sefer Hamada. The first of the five sections is Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Yesodei HaTorah is probably another way of saying Ikari Amuna, the roots, the foundations of the Torah. So most of the 13 Animamins, which Rambam formulated earlier in his life, the Perash HaMishnayis and Sanhedrin, most of them in Mishnah Torah find their address in Yesodei HaTorah, but some of them are here. And Mirtz Hashem, as you move on through Hilchos Teshuvah, we'll get a chance to see at least one, maybe more. Okay. So we know that we're in for a treat. And we know already there's some themes afoot with Teshuvah. And then, let's take a look at Perak Aleph Halacha. Kol HaMitzvah Shebet Torah. All the mitzvahs in Torah, Bein Aseh Bein Lo Saseh, whether it's a mitzvah Aseh or a mitzvah Lo Saseh, an Iser, Im Adar Adam Alachas Mehem, Bein Bezadon, Bein Beshkado. We're keeping our options wide open. A Jew violated a Mavatla mitzvah Aseh, or he actively violated a Lo Saseh. Whether he did it on purpose, B'Shat Nefesh, he knew it was wrong, he just did it anyways, or he was just out to lunch. The shogi. Kishe ya'aseh tshuva v'yashuv mecheto. When that individual does tshuva and returns from his chet, he comes back home to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayav lehizvados lefnei hakel baruch hu. He has a mitzvah. He has a requirement. That's what mitzvah means. It's important to remember. Mitzvah does not mean good deed. Mitzvahs are good deeds. But the word mitzvah doesn't mean good deed. What's the shorash of mitzvah? Right? And it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Right? And they're not the 10 suggestions. They're the 10 commandments. The 613 mitzvahs are 613 commandments. Because Baruch Hu has obligatory expectations of us. Your chayiv, that's the mitzvah, lehitzvados lefnei hakel baruch hu, to recite a vidui in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you know? Shenemar right away tells me a pasuk. Which, by the way, file that away when we start Bava Kama Dav Beis. After Yom Tov, we're going to see a lot about the intertwining of halacha and psukim. It's one of the major topics in the Talmud of days. He right away quotes the pasuk: "Isho isha ki yasu mikol chatos adam l'mamal b'Hashem v'yashma ha'nefesh ahi." A man or a woman violates any of the mitzvahs, does any of the eruv, v'yashma nefesh ahi, v'hitzva adu et chatosam asher esu. That man or woman needs to be mitzvah, articulate the chet that you did. Ze vidui dvar. This is verbal vidui. Why did I quote a pasuk right away? Number one, because that's how we know things. That's one of the ways we know things, because it says so in the Chumash. It's a very good way to know something. Not only is it a very good way to know something, but it's also necessary to be for the next sentence to be true. Vidui ze mitzvah aseh. This vidui is a mitzvah aseh. To be a mitzvah, again, in too great detail to say for a mitzvah, as I mentioned before, the Rambam is methodical in the way that he counts his 613 mitzvahs. Before he even enumerates the 248 mitzvahs, I say, 63 and 65 mitzvahs, los essay, those are sections 2 and 3, respectively, of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Section 1 are a series of 14 rules, 14 criteria that the Rambam developed that, to his mind, accurately define what a mitzvah is, such that you end up with a list of 613. And rule number 2 is that it has to be Torah Shavuot. It has to be Pasuk Mitzvah. Rule number 1 is that it has to be Daraisa. Rule number 2 is that it has to be Torah Shavuot. So, for the Rambam, to be a mitzvah is to be a Pasuk in the Chumash. Not every Pasuk is a mitzvah, but every mitzvah is a Pasuk. So, that's why right away he says it's a Pasuk in the Chumash, and therefore it's a mitzvah. The Pasuk says, by the way, where is that Pasuk? Very good. Excellent. The parsha is Naso, not where you usually would think. If I asked you where would you find the mitzvah of tshuva, you might not have thought, maybe you have guessed. This week's parsha, next week's parsha, right? Parsha is Naso. How about that? Of course. And he goes on to say, how does this vidui look? Is it a Jew says, on Hashem, Ribbono Shalom, I did Averus and I feel terrible, I regret, I'm embarrassed. I plan to not. To not repeat that activity. What's strange is, so you wouldn't have imagined you would find the mitzvah of tshuva in Parashas Naso. You find the mitzvah of tshuva nitzavim by yelech. As a matter of fact, you don't find the mitzvah of tshuva in parshas Naso. Because what the Rambam just said is a mitzvah. Either. He didn't say it's tshuva. And this is, I'm sure some of you have heard, this is an issue that some achronim made into a very celebrated issue. Rambam just shifted. And up top, he defined the mitzvah as tshuva and vidur. And then here he said a formulation which in it of itself is strange, and then in context it seems like a stira. Right? He said, kishayasa tshuva v'yashuv mechato, when you do tshuva, chayv lehes vados v'mei akel baruch hu. It's not a mitzvah to do tshuva. When you do tshuva, there's a mitzvah to say vidur. That's interesting. No mitzvah to do tshuva. And he's consistent. The next line. He says, the vidur is a mitzvah to say. And the pasuk quotes the pasuk about vidur, because that's the mitzvah. Mitzvah is vidur. When you do tshuva, it's mitzvah of vidur. Really? So that's this bachlal, fascinating. It sounds like it's tshuva just sort of the context or the circumstances under which the mitzvah was. Because the mitzvah, we learned it not long ago, yamot itin sara. For example, it's not a okay, the mitzvah will be first to finish. To pay your worker on time. It only applies if you're hard at work. A Jew can go through his life, never hired a worker, you'll never have a mitzvah. Okay. If you hire a worker, then you have a mitzvah to pay him on time, on the day of the salary. Rambam, in the last paragraph of the brachos, Rambam quotes from a Yerushalmi, a Jew could go his entire life never having a mezuzah. Because you can live your whole life in a tent, you can live your whole life in a boat, maybe now they say you live your whole life in an RV, live your whole life in a mobile home, and that's a mezuzah. If you live in a home that qualifies as a diras, or you learned last year, in a sefer sukkah, if I live my whole life in three amas by three amas, right? So you never chayv mezuzah. Okay. Hopefully you will not live your entire life in a house in which none of the rooms are dalal al dalad, but different people have different tastes. Right? But if I live in a house that's chayv, then I have a mitzvah of mezuzah. If I hire a worker, then I have a mitzvah b'yom titin schar to pay him on time. That's what it sounds like here. If you're doing tshuva, under those circumstances, you have a mitzvah of vidur. Or maybe you could tweak it a little bit, not just the circumstances, the conditions where the mitzvah applies, but it's a way of doing it. The way to do tshuva is with vidur. That's interesting. The mitzvah is the vidur. Well, what do you make it? No one, in and of itself, forget about what Ram said before, what does that mean? The mitzvah is the vidur. I don't think the mitzvah is the tshuva. No. Vidur is a detail. That's the way we've always been raised to believe. Right? A different step to tshuva, one of them is vidur. And then, not only is it strange in its own right, but as we saw before, up top, a line earlier, the Rambam had a different formulation, the mitzvah of tshuva and vidui, which also was in and of itself a little bit curious, and that is mamash just steer of one line to the next. What's going on? So if it was a steer between chveis, Rambam and the Perush of Mishnayis and Mishnayis Yuma and the Hilchos Tshuva, didn't say, he changed his mind. We know, documented many times, Rambam changed his mind over the course of his life. Matter of fact, we even had not only the differences between Mishnah Torah, he wrote the Perush of Mishnayis when he was younger, with the Mishnah Torah when he was older. And we have manuscripts in the Rambam's own hand of the Perush HaMishnayis, and you can, Kafach points out, you can trace changes that he made as he got older. He went back and edited. He changed his mind. We looked at the Sugya again, and he said, I now see it differently. And he was an honest Talmud Chacham, and he kept editing. So that would be fun. But in the Mishnah Torah, this is the same, one line to the next. If he changed his mind, he would change both. What's going on? And this is an abstract question, and it also has, as I think we'll see in a moment, it's not only interesting leaving Hilchos Tshuva, I think it's intensely practical in terms of what we can do over the coming days and weeks to not let the opportunity of an Elul HaShem Tshuva slip through our fingers. So what's going on? The heart of the verse is like this. Minchas Chinuch says at least a part of this. The heart of the verse is like this. Let's start with Parakah Halakha. Let's start with Kisha La'atzma. What do you mean? Kisha Yashuv. When I'm doing tshuva, I should say either. Why when I'm doing tshuva? The mitzvah is to do tshuva. The answer is no. I'll ask you a kash the other direction. I understand. yesterday I ate and I forgot to bench. I had a banana, I had a peach, and then I got distracted, never made a bar nefesh. I made a bar per eight, never made a bar nefesh. Yesterday on the bus, hanging out with some guys, there was an opportunity, I have that push for, you know, the sense of timing, there's a one-line zinger, and I let that line rip, and everyone smiled, including the guy who was just insulted, but of course, most people don't have the strength to say, excuse me, I didn't appreciate that. So, that's wrong. Not saying Bar Nefesh is Rabbanan. Or Naz Dvarim is the Lav Doresa. Whatever it is. I did the wrong thing yesterday. Right? It's a Gvalt. I realized I'm doing Cheshvan Hashem yesterday. One second. I ate a peach and never said Bar Nefesh. It's terrible. Where is my grasp of the Torah? Where is my mindfulness? Well, okay. I have to do tshuva. Next time I have fruit again today, I'm going to make sure it's going to say Bar Nefesh. Do you need a mitzvah of tshuva in order to know if you should do that? No. Even if there was no mitzvah of tshuva, the din, well, that's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the din of bar nefesh requires the next time I should do it right. If a Jew didn't repeat, I davened early Meyer last night, and before Tzitzit HaKadim, I didn't repeat Kriyishma. No. Mavato mitzvah d'oraisa Kriyishma. Yikes, I better make sure next time that I do a better job. Whatever I have to do, I'll put my watch on the other arm, I'll set a reminder, whatever I'll do, I'll make sure that I remember to repeat Kriyishma. I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva to tell me that tomorrow I should take Kriyat Shema. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema tells me I should take Kriyat Shema tomorrow. And you violated Kriyat Shema yesterday, but the mitzvah is still alive and well. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, Rishach B'chav Kumecha, mandates I have to take Kriyat Shema today, tonight, tomorrow. Even without a separate, I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva to tell me that I need to do tshuva. Of course, if I didn't keep the halacha well in the past, whatever that mitzvah is demands that I keep it properly in the future. So really the question is, who needs a mitzvah of tshuva? Well, what does a mitzvah of tshuva add? Of course I have to do tshuva. But the fact that I'm obligated to be different tomorrow, I don't need a separate mitzvah. It's whatever other mitzvah I didn't do properly, that mitzvah mandates I do it right the next time. So really the question is, what do I need a mitzvah of tshuva? Now there's a concept of tshuva in the Torah, of course. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu values my decision to be different, and the fact that tshuva also, as a byproduct, accomplishes kapara, those are for sure d'oraisa concepts that are chidushin that we need to know. But that's not a mitzvah, tshuva. It's just a couple minutes ago. Mitzvah means a tzivoy, or a commandment. There's a concept of tshuva. But what do I need a tzivoy of tshuva for? Anyway, the kriyashma demands that I say kriyashma tomorrow. Onaz devarim demands that I not insult someone tomorrow. What do you need a mitzvah of tshuva for? So the answer, l'chaora, the Rambam is giving is, you're right. There is no, I don't need a separate mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah instead is how to go about it. I realized that I was not sensitive to people in that. I realized I was not sensitive to a particular mitzvah, but I'm not. Okay. So now I'm going to be more sensitive. Right? Whether it's, I found my phone sending me into dangerously erotic fantasies, I found my phone just wasting hours of time. I found my mouth just saying insulting things, lashing out, whatever it is. Right? So I recognize I need to change, so I'm going to change. So that's part of life. But the mitzvah is, you're going to engage in a process of change, which you need to anyways, because of Kriya Shema, Noz, Dvar, Mishmar, Mikal, Dvar, whatever it is, whatever the din is I need to be better about. Don't let that opportunity slip by. If you're in the process of changing, of growing, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa that you can do. What's that mitzvah d'oraisa? Vidui. When a Jew is changing, when a Jew is growing, when a Jew is trying to be better than he was yesterday, when a Jew is doing tshuva, so I have a chiyuv d'oraisa to not just do tshuva, in other words, not just do tshuva in my head, my heart, and my hands and feet, I have to verbalize the tshuva process. I realize that I feel bad about what happened yesterday. I make a firm commitment that tomorrow will be different. Talk about it. It can't just be in your head and in your actions. If it's in your head and your actions, so if I didn't verbalize it, I was careless with Kriya Shema in the past. From this point on, I feel terrible and I make a commitment to be careful about Kriya Shema. I will be careful, and I talk and I am careful about Kriya Shema in the future. So I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema going forward, but I have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Tshuva, or more precisely, of eating. But if in the course of that process, I articulate it, that's a separate mitzvah d'oraisa. Number one, now I'm going to be careful about Kriyat Shema, that'll be a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Number two, I'm still, by talking about it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah of eating. Let's think about this mitzvah for a few minutes. In other words, I need to verbalize my process of change. And that right away speaks to two, I think, larger ideas. Number one is the power of articulation. Instead of just being ideas in my head, if I express it, that's really going to make it, practically speaking, much more likely to stick. If you put it down on paper, it's also, practically speaking, going to help it stick. If it's just thoughts and feelings floating around in the ether of my head, so it may stick, it may not stick. You articulate it, you say it, that gives it more mamashas. It's practically more likely to work, and to work long term. Mashal of Mahadavar Adoma is the difference between sort of thinking a svara in your head versus talking it out. Right. You hear yourself talking, it's multimodal, you hear yourself talking, you hear yourself thinking, you think through the ideas more clearly, you're more likely to remember them, you're more likely to think them through to a greater extent. The articulation itself is very powerful. And it's not only articulation. What's the other, not just I'm saying it instead of just thinking it. So what's the other key ingredient here? Yeah, I can recognize it in my head or I can recognize it verbally. But to whom am I verbalizing? Right. I have to mizvada takar, chayv lehizvados, lefnei hakel baruch hu, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very tefillah-like formulation. Very, very famous Rambam, which perhaps we'll have some chance to see later in the year. I'm sure maybe you'll come across it. The Reb Chaim Hilchos Tefillah. You've heard it quoted? Reb Chaim points out a very, very gorgeous Rambam in the parak Galad Hilchos Tefillah. He talks about what's the core kavana of tefillah. He talks about recognizing that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're always with Nei Hashem. Very similar language. Somewhat similar. Rav points out somewhat similar language also in Hilchos Shabbos. So not only am I articulating my tshuva, but I'm bringing my tshuva into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just me, myself, and I in a corner and I feel bad and I'm, you know. No. I'm, so to speak, bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the process. I've made my own personal struggles and struggle to grow and change and be even better, and I've brought that into a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's transforming. That's probably, by the way, the yishuv of the stira between Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph and the remez above. Sheyashar achote mechato lefnei Hashem v'yizvadeh. You should do tshuva on your chet. In the presence of Hashem, sort of hanging prepositional phrase there, l'fnei Hashem, what's l'fnei Hashem? And you should do vidur. Right, so we were bothered, down below he says this is a mitzvah of vidur. Here it sounds like it's a compound mitzvah with two components, tshuva and vidur. And number two, isn't vidur just one of the parts of tshuva? And number three, what's with this hanging l'fnei Hashem? But now I think it all falls into place. Because I don't think he means that the chet is l'fnei Hashem. Yeah, it's true. Every chet I do is always l'fnei Hashem. The point is that you should be shoved from your chet. You should do your tshuva l'fnei Hashem. And that's the goal of the vidui. The goal of the vidui, the goal of making it, of having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about my tshuva process, the goal of that is that now my tshuva is a tshuva l'fnei Hashem. It's not just that I'm trying to change in a lonely way. I'm growing toward, I'm doing tshuva in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I accomplish that. I transform my tshuva through b'mitzvah. The behavior that I'm a tshuva to do is to do a vidui, to say a vidui. What's accomplished, if you like the kiyum mitzvah, if the mice is a vidui, the kiyum is that it transforms the tshuva itself into the tshuva lifnei Hashem. And you look at the language, the next couple of lines, and then we'll think for one minute, of what the significance of this is. Kesad mitzvah. How do you go about saying vidui? Omer, a Jew says, Ana Hashem, please HaKadosh Baruch. Chatas yaviti parashati lefanecha. I did all sorts of avers. Asisi kach v'kach. I did such and such. You're not supposed to say the words kach v'kach. Fill in the blanks. Whatever I did. Fill in the blanks. Each person has his own profile of where easier nisyonos, more difficult nisyonos. You fill in your blanks. Vareini chamti. I regret it. Not only do I regret it, I wish I hadn't done it. Boshti. I'm embarrassed emotionally. Boshti l'masle. I'm embarrassed, not of everything I've done, but I'm embarrassed of those actions I've done. Ula olam eini chozod avazeh. And I plan to never return to such activity again. Zehu ikari shel vidui. That's a full process of tshuva. Thinking about the past, thinking about the future. We'll see more about that when we get to Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva. Let's take it one more step. Tshuva lefnei Hashem. When vidui turns your tshuva into tshuva lefnei Hashem, what that means is that you're not just focused on, I feel terrible because I did X. I'm not going to do X in the future. That is true. That's clearly front and center in the vidui. What it does is it now makes that into not just I'm not only focused on action X and changing action X, but it's now recast as a repair of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is with human beings also. What a conversation with another person can do is it can repair a relationship. It could be transformational instead of just transactional. And that's what's happening here with tshuva. And it reminds us, and here's our final point for today, that the larger significance, I promised we would end for a moment the larger significance of this, but it reminds us of something very, very important. It makes things much more positive, and it also makes things much more serious, but certainly makes things much more deep and meaningful. Which is sometimes when we learn halacha, we say you have to do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, you can't do that, and we would serve ourselves well if we rephrase that as Hashem expects me to do this, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me not to, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to not do that. Instead of just do's and don'ts, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me not to do that. Sometimes we do ourselves a disservice when we think about halacha. Baruch Hashem, we're careful about halacha. We sort of, there was a debate for many decades about lahavdil, whether or not God has a place in the public school classroom. That's a constitutional debate, maybe an ideological debate. But leaving that aside, achen vei, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was absent from our classroom, achen vei, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was absent from our shmiras halacha. But it's so easy to fall into, even a Jew who's Baruch Hashem keeping mitzvahs. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing my best to keep all the mitzvahs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not part of my thinking. That's a problem, especially since the first line of Shulchan Aruch is Shibisi Hashem v'negdi tamid, pasuk and tefillin. So, and that's it's reflected, the way mitzvahs ought to all be lifnei Hashem in a sense. In other words, to have an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects this of me. It makes it's much more demanding. It's also much more positive. Because it means that I can't do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting more of me. And not just expecting you to be nice. Expecting you must. But the you must is coming from emotional. Rambam does it once in a while, often I think actually, in the Perush HaMishnayos. And he quoted a pasuk. He won't just say Shenemar. I'll say, in the Arabic, he wrote in Arabic, Kalalah. Which is translated as Amar Hashem. Hashem said, and in fact that sounds like it's going to be like Machshava. It could also be like Hilchos Shmita. Amar Hashem, Hashmi is Tishma Tana Tasha. God said, you have to leave the fields alone in Shmita. That's an important reminder. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu said X. So Mela, and that's reflected in Tshuva. If I've been doing the wrong thing, on the one hand the stakes are higher now. Not just I did the wrong thing, I'm upset, I did the wrong thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said maybe not the right way to point it. But I violate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of me. Wow. They're pretty high stakes. At the same time, changing and being better is not just I need to change. I'm going to repair my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to do a mitzvah. I'm going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. I'm going to avoid that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to put that aside. Wow. Nothing changed, but everything changed. It's a paradigm shift. I may be doing all the same things. It's a whole new way of looking at everything. And as it sinks in, It's transformative. That's what Yiras Shamayim is. To live with awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically with an awareness of that halacha is mitzvah Hashem. And that, again, is reflected here in the way in which we think about tshuva. I want to change, Baruch Hashem, you want to change. Make sure that it's a change in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make sure it's a change that I recognize that I'm repairing my relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way you do that, that's Shiyashuv Bnei Hashem. The way you do that is Yisvadeh. And so the Maisa Mitzvah, and it might not be the only strategy, but the required strategy to accomplish this, is to do Vida. And that's Mamash and Mitzvah Raisa. So Halacha L'Maisa, I both said, before we head down to the Beis HaMedrash, Halacha L'Maisa is a Mitzvah Raisa we should all make sure to keep. That's a Mitzvah Raisa of Vida. It doesn't have to just happen in Yom Kippur. Now, sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We haven't yet been, have not yet been exposed to free-floating conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We haven't yet done Breslov Hizvoidus, or the Hizvoidus of the Yeshivas of Kelm and Slabodka, for that matter, when they would take walks in the forest and Hizvoided. It's okay. So that we're more comfortable talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of Shemoneh Esrei. It's good. It's in the context of Shemoneh Esrei, in the Slach Lanu, or in Shema Koleinu, or in Lekai Netzar. You see, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And have the conversation the Rambam sketched out in my own words. I feel really bad. I'm struggling with this. I really want to do this, but it's very hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. I really want to talk about it. I feel bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't share anything that you say. He won't laugh at you. And he's more than glad to listen for as long as you want to talk to him. I mean that all very, very seriously. That's very, very true. We should take advantage of the opportunity. And it's an opportunity, and it's a chiyuv of deraisa. So, if you're a growing person, that means you're doing tshuva. You're trying to be better than you were yesterday. So you have a mitzvah deraisa of yidur. Michal. I think you have to say the words. What? I hope you're talking in English, Master.
English?
Sure. Oh, that's what you mean, yeah. That was important to say the words of Shema Esrei. I'm not joking. Sometimes people don't even voice the words of Shema Esrei at all. It's a post-combative debate. You're not much familiar with Ozmav Yotzin Happy. You definitely have to be saying the word.
Right.
Because sometimes people think just the way you read an English book, to just scan the words, that probably does not hear Kedibur as a Shaila, but we do not recommend that in Davin. You should be saying the word quietly. You should say in the words, and you can absolutely speak in English as well. It has to be appropriate. By appropriate, I mean it has to be topical. In the middle of Baruch Aleinu, if I'm worried about my father's job, my mother's job, my own job, someone else's job, to get a job, to keep a job, you could speak in English in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. I'm worried that I want someone to stay healthy or to return to health. You could daven in Hebrew or in English, absolutely. Mikra Adin, you can even daven in Tarei Shemoneh Esrei itself in English. That's what Mishnah says at the beginning of the 7th paragraph of Sota. We generally do not advocate that. There's also some history. There's water under the bridge. Reform used davening in German as a means to push their agenda. So we've been more allergic to that. But strictly speaking, the Jew who doesn't understand Hebrew can certainly daven even the Shemoneh Esrei itself, read the English. And even if you're davening Shemoneh Esrei in Hebrew, which I imagine you all are, you can add anything that's relevant to the parish message that you're in whatever language you want to add it. Yiddish, Hebrew, or even English. Aramaic, Farsi, Sanskrit, Portuguese, whatever floats your boat. Whatever will allow you to express yourself best to vote. One last question for now. Yeah. Yeah. So you can sit under a tree in the backyard. You can sit in your bed. I don't think a 2018 child, I don't think texting is the kind you do. But posting is not. That's the opposite. That's certainly mentally very much the opposite of the sort of zone you're trying to get into. But yeah, you can just sit there and sit in your bed and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many of us are uncomfortable. It feels sort of weird when you start talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Out of davening, that feels weird for most of us. Okay, so then doing the course of it. It doesn't have to be in the course of davening. That's just an example.
Does it have to be
the, you need to cover these themes. The Rambam goes on to say, Zehui Karisha Vidui, this is the core of Vidui. Ho amar b'la hisva dos, if you, v'u marich b'inin zeh, harei zeh meshubah. Sounds a lot like, which other verbal mitzvah? The Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ho amar b'la hisva meshubah. In Lamdas, there's a certain similarity also, in the close of this, because it's neither one of the speaks to your issue as well. Kol Marbar is a Meshubach, Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim and Vidui are both cases where you have a requirement to speak, but it's not a mitzvah recitation. As Kriya Shema, you have the chiyuv to say a certain text. Berakas Kohanim is the chiyuv to say a certain text. The Zohar of Ramazal, and we'll talk about it Sefiras Omer time. The whole approach to Sefiras Omer along these lines also. You have to verbalize it, but it's not a mitzvah to say certain words. It's a mitzvah to count. It's not a mitzvah to say the text of the Haggadah. It's a mitzvah to tell the story. So here, it's not a mitzvah to say a certain text. It's a mitzvah to have a conversation with the Kaddish Baruch about this. And there are certain key elements you need to include in your conversation. But it's not about saying the text. The text you need to say in order to accomplish what it is you're trying to accomplish. If you want to reword this video in your own language, it's fine. But Ram is laying out very, very tersely, there are a lot of elements here. There's a general chatasi, there's specific pirut hachet, and then there's nechama, and there's busha, and there's aziva sachet, and there's just a few lines. He had like four or five or six different elements of tshuva. So if you want to rephrase it, you can rephrase it. He's giving you sort of, this is like, the essential tshuva. You can rephrase and add as long as you keep those key pieces in place.